You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Secret. Welcome to a new episode of the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast. That was Genghis Tron with their track Alone in the Heart of Light from their album Dream Weapon, which came out earlier this year. And for this episode, I have the pleasure of having Blake Red as a guest. How are you, Blake?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
That's awesome. How's summertime? Well, you know, it's almost summer. Or is it summer already? I'm not sure. Is it hot over there?
It's hot. It's very hot where I am in Chicago. So yeah. I would consider it summer.
Yeah, I can say that. I mean, you know, living in Puerto Rico, it's pretty much summer all year long. So it gets even more intense this time. Oh, so
I can't even imagine. It sounds really hot over there.
Yeah, but you know, we have the beaches and we have stuff that we can do like to get that taken care of. So I guess eventually I'll go into that. Awesome. So let's talk about your career. Let's talk about your music. Let's talk about what inspired you to become a musician first. What were the things that, or what were the artists that you were listening to when you were growing up that were like, okay, I want to be like them. I want to grab an instrument and start playing music.
Well, when I was young, I listened to a lot of what my parents listened to, and they listened to a lot of R&B and soul music and Motown, and I got really into Stevie Wonder as an artist, and just the variety of music that he put out. I also really liked Marvin Gaye, and I also liked, let's see, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I was really into. Nice. Just a lot of kind of earlier kind of soul acts. And then I got into, later on, it wasn't until like I was a little bit older that I got into rock music, but I guess like the first like sort of rock bands I ever listened to were the Beatles. And I feel like listening to the Beatles, I got really inspired by the songwriting, and that's when I was inspired to pick up a guitar.
Yeah, it's really hard. I usually don't understand people when they hate on the Beatles. It's like, okay, they're probably not, you know, we've been listening to a lot of stuff as time has progressed, right? But by their time, when they started playing, they were like the pioneers on a lot of stuff, not only, you know, what the songwriting and what they were doing with their songs, with their hooks, but also in the studio, they were like exploring with a lot of stuff. I just don't get why people what the people that don't like them, I don't get why they don't appreciate what they did.
So I know they did so much in such a little time as a band.
For sure. And well, they were pretty much like the first boy band in that sense, or the first like big pop band. So they're definitely influential. And then after that, you started listening to the Beatles, and then I must assume you got more into like heavy stuff.
Yeah, I got more into like hard rock from there, like Guns N' Roses. I had a big thing about them for a while, and I got really into Slash, and that was when I got my first Les Paul, which was like my first electric guitar that was actually mine and not a rental, was a Les Paul. And so I got really into playing like Guns N' Roses and Aerosmith. I really liked Joe Perry's guitar playing a lot as well. Nice. And then from there, it kind of transitioned into more of like grunge music. I got really into Nirvana and Soundgarden, and then Alice in Chains. And yeah, it just kind of got a little bit heavier from there. I got into metal from Megadeth, and it just kind of got heavier from there.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. Like that transition, it's always very interesting. I personally started, I had a very weird venture with music when I started listening to music. Literally the first album I ever bought was actually a Britney Spears album. And then after that, I got into Linkin Park and, you know, kept progressing into like heavier stuff, which is pretty much what I consume and what I listen to right now. But yeah, definitely all the bands that you mentioned, and it makes sense. You talk about Slash and Guns N' Roses and Perry, because you have Les Paul. And as you mentioned it, I was like, okay, so that's where you got it. Right. And that's awesome. These are great musicians and great inspirations and great, people to look after as far as playing. Right. And whenever we're talking about heavier stuff, like you mentioned Megadeth, you've actually mentioned Megadeth and Alice in Chains in a couple of interviews before. Were there any like particular albums that you were into that really inspire you to like, I want to play heavier stuff?
Yep. Dirt by Alice in Chains was probably my biggest inspiration. I just love that album. I love it musically. I really was drawn to the guitar tones a lot. I love Jerry Cantrell, he's great. Yep. And just like the lyrical material on there too. I'm very into music that tells a story and really tells a truth, even though it might be kind of a dark truth. But that really inspired me to kind of tell my own story on my first EP and kind of continue telling my story through my music right now. That album was a really big inspiration for that.
Awesome. Yeah, actually my favorite band, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Opeth. Have you heard of Opeth or
fan?
Well, they're my favorite band, and they actually did one, they would. Cover. Oh, cool. and it's so good. But you know, I'm biased because I love Opeth, and pretty much everything they do is like my favorite thing. But that's awesome. Yeah, I like to have that connection directly with lyrics whenever they tell a story, particularly when we're talking about stories that are very relatable to any type of really intense moments in life, right? And even if you don't necessarily have gone through the same process as they did, but you feel it. And I think Alice in Chains, with the intensity of their songs and the vocals and everything else, makes something very unique, and it really makes you feel like you are there with everything that's going on sonically. So they're definitely a very interesting, they've always been a very interesting band.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Awesome. So now that you talked about a little bit your debut EP, can you talk about your EP called SOS, Sons of Suicide, and your latest single, Follow Me? Well, not latest, the one before The Cradle, which we're going to be playing later after this interview. But can you talk a little bit about the process of making your EP? And then Follow Me.
Yes. So for SOS, I lived in Los Angeles for a little bit of time after going to Berklee College of Music. And I met who I did my EP with, producer engineer Daryl Swan. And I showed him kind of like the demos of the music that I was working on, and he really liked it, and we really connected together because we were both really into, well, he actually used to be a guitarist in a metal band. So we were both just really into heavy guitar playing and just heavy music. So we really connected on that. And then he ended up engineering the EP for me. We worked at a studio called Clear Lake in North Hollywood and knocked out the four songs. But I was writing them kind of, I guess, based on what I was going through that time emotionally. So that's kind of where the lyrics were coming from, just kind of following my life and following just where I was going during this time that I really had no idea kind of what my life is going to become, and just the curiosities and the fears that come with all of that. And then musically, I composed all of that music with Logic on my computer. And that's how I do my demos. Same thing for Follow Me. I sequenced the drums for Follow Me, mm-hmm. and kind of did that whole thing with Logic. And then in the studio, I played bass, guitar, and sang. And that was how Follow Me came together. It was a little bit different, because with SOS, I did use a live drummer for each song. And same with The Cradle, I used a live drummer. But they were playing parts that I had composed through the demo.
Okay, so for SOS, did you also play guitars and bass?
For SOS, I played guitars and sang. I had some friends play bass for me on that record. And so that was a change between Follow Me and The Cradle, where I'm playing bass.
And how was that process for you? Was it something, you know, as a bassist, I'm actually interested, like, how was your approach into going to record these songs as a bassist, right?
Yeah, it's really different, because I write a lot of the bass parts with a keyboard, so I'm not always playing them on bass. And then when I go to translate these parts on bass, it's like, oh, this is how you, it's completely different when you're kind of moving your fingers to a whole different instrument. So yeah. I learned that was something that I really liked to do on my own. And at first I was, as a guitar player, I was kind of like afraid, like, to be a bass player, because it's like, it's a complete different instrument, you know? So yeah. I always wanted to get someone who bass was their primary instrument. But through writing these new songs, I found that I really like to play bass a lot. It's a really fun instrument.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've been playing bass for 15 years, so I agree. And it's also like, it's funny, because a lot of people just make bass players be the joke of the band. And then, you know, you just hand them a bass and they don't know what to do with it. So it's awesome that you it's great that you're telling me this. It's definitely refreshing as well to hear someone say, you know, I had to adjust myself from the guitar to the bass, because, you know, you are aware it's a different instrument. There's a lot of people that grab basses and think, oh, this is going to be easy, and they struggle. And I'm going to be a little bit, you know, honest here. I like seeing that. I've seen that struggle from other people, because, you know, I've been, you know, that butt of the joke for a long time. So it's fun. It's fun. It's definitely fun. And going to the studio, I just recently went to the studio to record the album from Calamity, which is one of the bands I'm in. And there's something about the studio and that magic of being in a room, and just, you know, even though you're recording and you're recording the same songs you run in your room, but you also have the opportunity to explore beyond, you know, what you can do in your room, and you have other people telling you what's their opinion, right? And their view on the song. And it's always a process that helps everything develop and grow even more than, you know, at least it happens to me. It tends to grow more than what I thought it was going to be in the end.
Yes, I love that about the studio.
Awesome. And so we're premiering the release of your new single, The Cradle, today. Let's talk more about the song rather than the recording process. Tell me, what's the song about? What inspired you to write about the song?
Well, I was really inspired to come up with a song that continued the last song on my EP, SOS, which was called Through the Sky. And at the end of that song, it just doesn't look like things are going very well for Blake Redd. And I wanted to kind of come up with a song that continued that story, but showed kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. So The Cradle is really about starting fresh, starting again, kind of finding yourself and working through whatever it was that was getting you down. That's really what The Cradle is about, and just finding a whole new way and perspective of living life.
Great. And also there's also a big difference as far as sound wise, right? Between Follow Me to The Cradle, Follow Me tends to be a little bit more in the commercial poppy side. Now we have The Cradle, which even has blast beats. I remember when I heard that, I was like, whoa, okay. So what is that more showing a little bit more of that grunge metal influence? Was that on purpose, or is it something that has to happen because it goes along with the message that you want to put across with the song?
Well, I think that I have a little bit of a variety of music, and for Follow Me, it was a little bit of a softer song, and I think that did go with the message of it. And I'd say I prefer to put out stuff kind of more like The Cradle, having more of that like metal influence. It's just even having like some odd time signature in there. That's kind of where I'm experimenting with a lot of new stuff that I'm writing. But there definitely continues to be a variety. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. It's always fun. Like I've been on both sides as well, where I've done, you know, more hooky, popish music, and then I go with the crazy, weird, experimental, progressive music. And I like to create crazy, weird, experimental, progressive music because I get to explore a little bit more with the sounds. So it definitely makes sense. Cool. Exactly. That's awesome. So what's going to happen after The Cradle? What's next for Blake Red?
Well, I'm going back into the studio to get a couple of more songs recorded. And I'm going to be completing a new EP.
Nice. Any time frame or any timeline for that EP or those songs to come out?
Well, they're going to be done by the end of the summer. So I'm hoping to have an EP out in the fall.
Awesome. That's great. That sounds awesome. So for all fans of Blake Red, if you're listening to this, I hope you are excited because we're definitely going to get more Blake Red for the rest of the 2021. Any live shows, anything happening as far as live shows soon?
I am working on getting back on the stage, getting my band together and working on even hopefully doing a regional tour soon.
Awesome. Sounds great. So for everyone or anyone that wants to listen to SOS, Follow Me, and obviously The Cradle, aside from listening here in the episode, and also check more news about Blake Red, upcoming tours, upcoming music, where they can find you in the social media.
My handle is at Blake Red Rocks for Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as well.
Awesome. Yes. And you also on Bandcamp and on Spotify, correct?
Yep. I'm on Bandcamp and Spotify, and you can also find me on TikTok.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, Blake, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. Anything else you want to tell everyone who's listening?
No, thank you so much for the support. I really appreciate everyone who's listened to my music. That means the world to me. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, for everyone, here it is, the premiere of The Cradle. You've erupted, come was Blake Redd with the track The Cradle. Make sure to follow her on all socials. Now we go to Estonia with the post-rock band Kewan and the track Teistelu.
Thank you.
That was Kuwon with the track Tastelu from the album Ice Fleet, which was out in April. Check them out if you're into what you heard. Now we move to Sweden with Greenleaf and the track Tides.
Thanks. That was Green Leaf and the track Tides from the album Echoes from a Mass, which was released back in March. Great album for those of you fans of stoner metal. Before we go, I want to thank you for listening. Remember that you can follow the Unsolicited Opinion Metal Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check the episode notes for more information on all the bands that you have heard in the episode. And for next week, we have the Mexican progressive metal band, The Advent Equation. Should be a fun one. Make sure you tune in. Now, to finish, we go to Finland with Ryogen and the track Hollowness. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Branches reaching for the blackened sky. The long lost sky, I see now. Too dark, too deep, too good to spoil. Unlocking emptiness.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.